Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Sitting here trying to scarf down a salad in between breaks. It's not the most effective method I've ever used to eat my lunch, but here we are. Logan Weber in here today on The Drive, filling in for Carrington Harrison, who's out enjoying a little Kendrick Lamar in St. Louis. Rob Britton producing the show, as always. We've got a lot more coming up here on the program. We're going to get into some more Royals baseball talk. We've been tracking the stadium situation because of the special session that's taking place in Missouri. We're constantly sitting here trying to find updates on what's going on, right? The report that we got last night, courtesy of KNBC, it seemed like there was, I don't know, let's put it as cautious optimism. I know, Rob, you had described it as a quiet confidence that this thing is going to pass. And that's something that's sort of atypical of a situation like this. Especially how this situation has played out so far. It's also very atypical, really, of the political sphere. They either seem to have this overwhelming confidence that it's going to pass, or this overwhelming confidence that it's going to fail miserably. You know, the fact that there are some people that are like, yeah, I think we have the votes to get this thing through right now. But now, what happens if they do get those votes? That's going to be the next shoe, right? That's the next hurdle that the Royals and the Chiefs and the people of the state of Missouri are going to have to sort through.
I feel like, and we played the Matt Evans cut earlier in the show about how, you know, it was three part, basically, you know, some Republicans, some Democrats are opposing it. There's a big Senate fight, a political fight. There's not going to be, you know, an actual fight today on the floor, but a big Senate fight is looming, but there's a sense of confidence, at least from the reporting coming out of Jeff City, that it could get passed. I think we have entered this point in this whole saga. And this saga is like, I don't know, 24 months, 18 months. It feels like this saga has been going on for a long time. But we have reached the point in the saga where politicians are going to do what politicians do. And that is posture. If you ask... We had Dan Hawkins, the Speaker of the House in the Kansas State Senate, on the show. We've had people who are in the know on the Kansas side on the show. And they will all tell you, we feel great. We're getting at least one of the teams. There's a confidence we're going to get both. Look, the Royals just bought the mortgage on that land. We have the renderings of legends. They want a dome per the Nate Taylor story. Where can you get a dome? The Kansas side. The politicians on the Kansas side are oozing confidence. There is now a quiet confidence coming out of Missouri that this special session bill, which saying that fast is a problem, that bill could get passed and money could start flowing to both teams, which if money start flowing to both teams, look, they would stay here. There's a renovation plan. There's a new stadium plan for the Royals. The Royals leave. Now the Chiefs have all that land. They want land. They can do all these things. It has reached the point where it's a matter of who do you believe? Everyone, one side, this side, no sides. It just feels like the politicians are all posturing and they're taking their victory lap when in reality, nothing has happened. The special session rages on. Kansas, we believe, has an offer to the Chiefs, but the Chiefs haven't really talked about their offer. They have an offer to the Royals. All we know about the Royals and that offer is they bought the mortgage on some land on 119th and Nall. It feels like the confidence at this point is either correct, one side's correct, or all sides are posturing. And that's, I've never done news radio, but it feels par for the course of politics.
100%. I have done news radio, and it is absolutely par for the course. Nobody is going to admit defeat. Nobody's going to admit that they are wrong. That's just how this is playing out. It was interesting yesterday. The report was that if this does pass, right, it would mean that the state of Missouri would pay for up to 50% of a new stadium or stadium renovation that would occur. So $1.15 billion for the Chiefs renovation. The state of Missouri itself would accrue almost $600 million of that. The Royals decide, yeah, the downtown ballpark is what we're going with. Whatever that price tag was be, would the state of Missouri would stomach half of that paycheck. According to Matt Evans, the spokesperson or the lobbyist for the Chiefs said he believes that the Chiefs will be making a decision on this, whether, you know, if it passes before the Kansas Star Bonds deadline, which is June 30th. So it sounds like if this thing does pass in the Missouri Senate, we could see something happen very, very quickly, at least with the Kansas City Chiefs. The Royals, I feel like they're kind of pressed for time. They have to have a decision and have one soon, right? Because they're not staying in Kauffman. That is the one thing that is absolutely not going to happen. They're either going to go to Kansas or they're going to find somewhere in Missouri if the state of Missouri can, I don't know, guess, get out of its own way a little bit. That's where, but they're going to have to do it soon because it's going to take them 4 or 5 years to build a stadium. By that time, the lease with Kauffman will be up and they will need a new home for Royals baseball. So we could see some of these things happen very, very shortly, possibly within the end of the month. Now, are there way more hurdles to jump through before you get there? Yes. I am curious, though. I saw this from Alyssa Nelson. She is
about to read that too.
From Missouri Net, that as of an hour ago, the special session hadn't even started yet. It was scheduled to begin at 10 a.m., but as of an hour ago, at 2 o'clock, it had yet to be gaveled into session. Now, according to her reports, is that discussions of this matter, as well as the construction projects and the disaster relief, the aid for disaster relief, have been widely discussed behind closed doors, but nothing out in the public, nothing in regards to the public special session called by Governor Mike Kehoe. Not exactly sure what that means. I have covered news and political news for a few years now. They always start late. Like, that's the one thing you learn right off the bat, is that they will always start at least 60 to 90 minutes late. But for a session to be 4 hours plus late is usually one way or the other, right? That definitely means that they're trying to get deals done behind closed doors to either fail this thing or pass this thing. But whenever they do come into session, I believe a decision could come rather quickly based off of these reported dealings being had behind closed doors.
Now, I'm going to plead ignorance here. I don't know what I don't know. Could these behind the scenes conversations that we are now getting reports are happening at the Missouri special session right now that have led to the actual session not being gaveled into session today? I didn't think I'd ever say session that many times in a sentence, but here we sit. Could those conversations delay today's special session from being, you know, gaveled in at all? Could they have basically a rainout, for a sports analogy, happen because the behind-the-scenes things are taking too long, or and at some point it's going to get gaveled in today? Because I just don't know how the timing of these things work, and if behind-the-scenes dealings, could those things delay an entire session by a whole day? If you don't know, it's fine. How long do behind-the-scenes convos last? Because it at this point is 5 hours late from starting. If it goes on another 5 hours, they're just going to say, hey, today's not happening, back at it tomorrow. Like, I don't know how that all comes to be.
Yeah, the part of this that I'm not entirely aware of, if this was a normal session, if this was just the Missouri Senate inside of its normal session, they could absolutely table this thing for later. That's what happened, right? This was brought up during the normal session, and it was tabled. I don't think there was even a floor discussion about it. And so the difference is, I don't know, but this being a special session, if it has a different set of rules. I don't know if there's a different set of justifications with a special session called by the governor versus a normal session of the Missouri Senate. So to answer your question, I don't really know. And under normal circumstances, yes, they could absolutely just not bring it to a vote. They could just table it for the next day. With it being a special session, that would be a lot, that there's a lot more questionables there that I'm maybe not entirely aware of. 913-586-7965. Someone says, Rob, the issue is Missouri has to deal with St. Louis. Kansas has zero major city, so of course they are all in. The St. Louis politicians are the issue. They are insufferable. They are all Cardinals fans, and they hate the Chiefs because Hunt voted for the Rams to leave St. Louis. St. Louis is petty.
The petty part aside, it would not shock me if Missouri politicians hold a grudge, because Clark Hunt did vote to move the Rams. Like, that's a fact of life. That did happen. There's no getting around that.
And it's not just folks in St. Louis. There's folks in the northeast part of the state and the southwest part of the southeast and southwest parts of the state, you know, that are going to have a hard time justifying the rest of the state paying $600 million nearly for a team in Kansas City, right? That's a really tough thing for, I think, folks to kind of wrap their heads around. That's a tough pill to swallow when you're looking at the possibility of, like I said earlier, Hannibal and Springfield and Cape Girardeau and Columbia and Jefferson City and St. Louis and all these other areas of the state paying for Jackson County to have a baseball and a football team. And I don't think it's all St. Louis people, because I know a lot of St. Louis people that became Chiefs fans after the Rams left. I don't know. One of those things. 913-586-7965 is our number. We'll continue to try to get updates on this special session when or if it ever comes into session today. I have no idea. The latest reports we're getting as of an hour ago was they hadn't even been gaveled in for today. A lot of conversations happening behind closed doors. But we briefly mentioned this in the 2 o'clock hour. We're going to bring it up now and get into more in-depth conversation when we come back, about a couple of roster changes we think we could or should see for the Kansas City Royals here in the month of June as we approach July and the trade deadline. Logan Weber here filling in for Carrington Harrison. Rob Britton producing the show as always. You're listening to The Drive on your home for Kansas City sports, 96.5 The Fan.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison. Watch the show on YouTube by subscribing to the 965 YouTube channel. The Drive brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this. 96.5 The Fan.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. And let the chase begin at ArenaClub.com.
There's some conversation happening in our text line, 913-586-7965, with people either asking or saying, didn't the state of Missouri help St. Louis pay for Busch Stadium? And I'll go ahead and nip that in the bud. No, the state of Missouri did not help pay for Busch Stadium. Busch Stadium was paid 90%. By private funding, and the other 10% came from St. Louis and St. Louis County. The state of Missouri itself did not have any part in the building of the new Busch Stadium. They did, however, pay for some upgrades in and around, around the ballpark. They paid for highway upgrades near the stadium, as well as the ballpark village that surrounds Busch Stadium. So for those that are like, well, Missouri helped the Cardinals pay for their stadium, why wouldn't they do that for the Royals? Well, it's because they didn't. The state did not help them pay for the new stadium. So there's a discrepancy there that maybe a lot of folks don't quite understand. But the conversation will continue. And it's going to be interesting to see, still just awaiting word to see if the session even began at this point. But I do want to have some discussions here, because we talked in the 3 o'clock hour, or 2 o'clock hour, I should say, a lot about the Royals. We talked about CAG's debut, obviously. However, there are some intriguing conversations to be had. One of those, and we talked very, very briefly about it, Noah Cameron versus Michael Lorenzen, right? Noah Cameron has been a revelation this year for the Royals. In four starts this year, he has gone at least 6 1/3 every start and has given up one or fewer earned runs in all four of those starts. First guy to do that since Fernando Mania back in the early 80s with the Los Angeles Dodgers. First time it's been done in 40 plus years. Meanwhile, Michael Lorenzen has struggled this year, especially in his last two starts, and specifically last night, gives up 7 earned runs across 2 2/3 of an inning. So the conversation becomes Noah Cameron versus Michael Lorenzen, who is the number 5 starter? I said last week, and I said earlier this week, I think Noah Cameron has to be the guy. He has got to be your number 5 starter. He's proven it. if anything, at the least, he's proven that he should never go back to Omaha, at least not for a very, very long while. He's been outstanding in the first four starts of his major league career. Lorenzen is struggling. It's got, in my view, it's got to be Noah Cameron. And from there, where do you go with Michael Lorenzen? Earlier in the show, we had Jalen Thompson from the Kansas City Star on with us, in which he kind of gave us an idea of what the Royals could do. And it's not just his view. I mean, this is sort of something that's been thrown around by Matt Quatrero and J.J. Piccolo in the Royals managerial and front offices.
Right now, a six-man rotation could be on the table, but they have off days every Monday this week, like we mentioned before, and I don't know if that might be where they want to go. They also could have the option to potentially move Michael Lorenzen to the bullpen, but when you look at the way the Royals have starters have been pitching, you really don't have a need for a long relief guy when you can have Daniel Lynch that can do the same thing. You have other guys that can do the same thing. So when you really look at it, they have to decide what is going to be their best option moving forward. And I think a lot of that's going to depend on what happens in today's game. You mentioned Noah Cameron starting today. So it's going to be what happens today, how they look, how they want to fit this thing together. But one thing we do know is Cole Reagans is going to start tomorrow, and they have to make a decision. So it's going to be pretty interesting to see what that decision is going to be.
I think in a perfect world, with the way that Noah Cameron's pitching, when you've got Chris Bubich pitching at a Cy Young level, Michael Wacha's having another really, really solid year. Seth Lugo is Seth Lugo, and Cole Reagans, if he gets back to being Cole Reagans, in a perfect world, you would probably just DFA Michael Lorenzen, or you would try to find a trade partner for a guy like Michael Lorenzen. What gives me pause about waiving somebody like a Michael Lorenzen is this pitching staff is not nearly as healthy, or at least hasn't been nearly as healthy as it was last year up to this point. We've seen Cole Reagans go on the IL a couple of times. We've seen Lugo battle some injuries already this year. That gives me a great deal of pause in the idea of just DFAing or trading away a guy like Michael Lorenzen. But at the same time, it's hard to justify throwing a guy like that in the bullpen, too, as like your long relief option when Daniel Lynch is already in the bullpen. He's pitched incredibly well this year, and he's a former starting pitcher in his own right. So you already have kind of a long reliever, and you haven't needed a long reliever, aside from really when Michael Lorenzen's been pitching. This Royals pitching staff, Cameron and Bubich and Wacha, these guys are consistently eating six innings. We know Seth Lugo is an innings eater. He's been that way since he arrived in Kansas City. He's going to consistently give you six. At minimum five, even if he doesn't have his best stuff. Reagans is usually the guy that you're looking at five or six innings in because he's such a strong strikeout pitcher that his pitch count usually begins to, you know, rise a lot quicker than the other guys because he just generates a large number of Ks. I don't know. I think that it's probably too premature to DFA Lorenzen or just trade him. I don't necessarily like the idea of throwing him into the bullpen because you have so many outstanding arms in the bullpen, but I think you have to hold on to a guy like Michael Lorenzen in the event that somebody else in this rotation goes down with an injury again, which, based off what we've seen from them so far this year, kind of seems inevitable at a certain point.
So here's the other part of the problem the Royals have here. And maybe this is just from my point of view. I've always kind of felt like, ever since the emergence of Noah Cameron, and by the way, some of the text line says, what if Cameron has a bad game tonight? Cameron has shown beyond just one night that he is a bona fide major leaguer. Is he a top of the rotation guy? Probably not. Will there be some regression to the mean? Absolutely. He is not a ERA of one in the major league type of pitcher, but that doesn't mean he's not a major league arm. Also with his contract and all those things, I've always looked at Michael Lorenzen ever since the emergence of Noah Cameron as a trade option. The Royals have six good starters. The Royals have no good bats. So what do? You trade an extra starter and try to get a bat back. That's, you know, the basic economics of baseball. The problem is, when I look at it through that lens, if you're going to move Michael Lorenz into the bullpen, which seems like the play at this point, you put him in the bullpen, you maybe send Andrew Hoffman down, tough break, his major league debut, you looked bad, see you later, harsh reality. If you do that, are you harming Michael Lorenzen's trade value? Because if you are a team in contention right now, who's it? The Braves. They're like 4.5 games back of the wild card. They are my generic team in the race. If you're the Braves, are you more interested in trying to bring in a starter for the second half push or a bullpen arm? And of the two, which are you willing to give up more to bring in? The answer is probably a starter. So if you move Lorenzen into the bullpen today or tomorrow, I guess, after Cameron's start, are you actually hurting Lorenzen's trade value? And by hurting his trade value, are you hurting your ability to add a bat down the line? Because as much as we all love Caglione, this team is more than one bat away from being, you know, more than just make the playoffs quality.
And somebody in the text line just mentioned this as well, right? When we're talking about what to do with Michael Lorenzen, Kyle Wright and Alec Marsh are both sitting on the IL right now. And maybe not this month, but in the next month or two, he could quite, one of those two guys or both could quite possibly be making their way back towards healthy and could give you more arms in a major league rotation. Daniel Lynch out of the bullpen, I said he is a starter. So if somebody does go down, we've already seen them this year kind of use him in a pinch to give you 2 2/3 or three or maybe even four innings and sort of like a Johnny Holstaff kind of a game. I don't know. There's a lot to it. Wow. That's a take. Somebody in the text line just said, I really like Noah Cameron, trade Bubich. Huh?
That's a conversation I'll have in December.
Trade the American League pitcher of the month?
I'll have the conversation in December. I will not have that conversation in June. Because in December, he'll be going into the final year of his contract, and there'll be a big extension will be due. I will have a Chris Bubich, what's the best play conversation in December and January at the hot stove. The similar to what they do with Brady Singer. Trade him because we don't have long-term plans for him. Try to get a player back under club control. I will have that conversation in December. I'm not having that conversation as a team that's pushing for a wild card spot and is hanging on by their fingernails saying contention in the division. I'm not having that conversation in June, July. Nope. Texter, circle back to me in December. We can have that conversation then. Not today.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, if you're looking at a trade option for somebody not named Michael Lorenzen, a guy in this rotation right now not named Michael Lorenzen, I would trade Seth Lugo or Michael Wacha before I traded Chris Bubich. Trade a guy who has a much larger contract yearly, right? It's not a longer contract necessarily, but a larger contract. Guys who are going to regress, right? We've seen Lugo deal with some injuries already this year, right? Wacha is not going to be a sub 3 ERA guy for the next 5 years. Maybe Bubich won't either, but he's got age for it. I don't know. I think that Bubich might be a little bit too strong to trade right now. Somebody said, honestly, what can we truthfully get for Lorenzen as a starter? Yeah, I don't think it's Lorenzen for a bat straight up necessarily.
It's not Cedric Mullins. It's probably it's probably Paul DeJong, kind of move.
Yeah, it's a Tommy Pham kind of a move. Something like that as sort of a stopgap of sorts. If you wanted to get something substantial out of somebody like Michael Lorenzen, you probably have to pair it with at least a prospect, if not two. Maybe a bat and another arm out of the minor leagues to try to make a deal work for a guy that you really believe could have an impact on this team. And we'll talk more about trade possibilities and things like that a little bit later on. There is one other roster debate that is being had amongst Royals fans, and I'm sure that it's probably being discussed within the front office of the Kansas City Royals as well. Michael Massey, Cam Devaney. What happens there? All right, we talked in the first hour about the struggles of Michael Massey this year. He is hitting a paltry 204, to begin this season across nearly 200 at-bats. Meanwhile, you've got Cam Devaney sitting down in AAA, who is tearing the cover clean off the baseball, hitting a crisp 306. He's got 11 home runs, 38 RBIs, a 382 on OBP. His OPS is at 967. A 967, which is really, really impressive across just under 150 at-bats so far this year. He's 28 years old, right? He's actually older than Michael Massey, which is a bit surprising. But there's a lot of people out there right now who are saying, send Massey down and call up Cam Devaney. He's another utility guy of sorts. He's a middle infielder for the most part. He's primarily played second base during his time in the minors, and especially with Omaha this year. I know where you stand on this, Rob. I'm on the same boat as you are. I guess Massey's going to DH tonight. I don't know if you give him another week and see if anything changes with him. But, I mean, yeah, Massey was the Royals' fourth best hitter last year. That's great. Except for the fact that by the fourth best hitter, he didn't even hit 260. I mean, he's got the fourth best batting average on your team with a 259 batting average, 14 home runs, 45 RBIs across 330 at-bats, and his on-base percentage was less than 300. He doesn't walk. If he's going to get on base, it's going to have to be with his bat. He struck out 32 times this year to 5 walks. And again, I know that it's a part of the game. I hate to add this as a negative against him, but Massey is never going to be a guy that plays 162 games. He's not going to be a guy that plays 130, 140 games. He's got that back issue or whatever that kind of limits him from being sort of your everyday guy. He's not going to play 6 days a week. I don't see why you don't give a guy like Cam Devaney a chance. I think they will. And if they do, Massey has to be the guy you send down. You've got 6 infielders right now on your roster. You've got 5 outfielders. So you can't send down an outfielder and call up Devaney, because then you got 7 infielders. Makes no sense. Only 4 outfielders, which is that's the position that you see shifted around quite a bit more. Devaney is a good enough glove at second base that it could take some fielding pressure off of Jonathan India, if that's what you'd like to see so far this year. I mean, he's got a career 992 fielding percentage. Give the guy a chance. Continue to do what you've done so far this year. If you're the Kansas City Royals, try to plug holes from within your organization, right? You had problems with outfield bats early in the year. All right, let's call up Drew Waters. He's been awesome to start this year, hitting up over 280. You weren't sure what was going to happen at third base. Oh, Mikel Garcia is having an all-star caliber year. Great. Continue to roll with that. They've called up Nick Lofton to try to solve some of the utility issues. They've made the move for John Rave. They DFA'd Renfro. They DFA'd Stratton. They sent Melendez back down. They're trying to find pieces that are already inside the organization to try to fix it first. And then after you've exhausted all those options, okay, now we can look towards the trade deadline, or we can look at this guy who's recently been waived as maybe a guy who could get another opportunity somewhere. Devaney's got to be the next guy that you're looking at, he's in the top 10 of AAA in batting average so far this year. He's in the top 10 in home runs as well, which is incredible for a second baseman to have the kind of pop that he has. You don't typically see that out of guys that play second.
So here's the thing, and the top texter makes a point. Everyone loves minor leaguers because you've never seen them fail.
Fair.
100%. It's the backup quarterback syndrome. I will say this about Cam Devaney and Michael Massey. Me and you are on the same page. There's a couple other things at play here. One, you never know a player can or can't do it until you've seen them do it. And Cam Devaney has not come up ever in his Royals career. This isn't, Nick Lofton, Drew Waters, that wave is a little bit different because they have had cups of coffee at the major league level. They have shown that at times the level looked like it was too big for them and they got a second chance. Cam Devaney's never been given that first chance. So yes, we all love minor leaguers. We've never seen him fail. That also means the Royals have never seen him fail, and they're giving guys a second chance before his first. Also, and I don't want to get into the nitty gritty of the contract negotiations because baseball contracts are complex, but here's a simple way to look at this. Michael Massey has options. You don't have to cut him. You can keep him in the organization and send him down there. The same way you, if you're J.J. Piccolo, John Sherman, the power structure over at One Royal Way, did MJ Melendez. You did it for, you're not hitting here, you have to go down there, you have to, you know, show you're too good for the level. We had a text earlier say he should probably come back up soon because he is hitting down there. Not a terrible idea. You've seen this organization in the past send guys down who have options to try to, hey, get some confidence, get your hitting back, and let's get a second run. To an extent, they've done that with Nick Lofton and Drew Waters. Like, and those things have happened. So this is not an anti-Michael Massey stance, although I think his stats indicate that maybe he's not a major leaguer right now. It's in his head. Whatever's happening, it's just not working. If nothing else, let's find out if Cam Devaney is or isn't a major leaguer. And maybe Cam Devaney is a quadruple A guy. Maybe he's Keiakea Hue. Maybe he's Ryan Sheely. The Royals have a past littered of quadruple A guys who are just too good for triple A, not good enough for the majors. But let's find out, as opposed to watching him tear the cover off the ball in Omaha and watch the alternative have what, the lowest OPS in baseball every day? Michael Massey needs to be in Omaha. It just has to happen. I feel bad for him, but it has to happen if you're going to be considered a major league or make a trade in the couple days that Devaney's not a conversation because they bring in Isaiah Kiner-Falefa. Like that, I'm just naming a middle infielder they could trade for in the next coming days, and I mean that solves the problem more than Cam Devaney. But Michael Massey is not an everyday player right now. He's not a major league player right now. He can't be on the roster.
You mentioned a couple of examples there of guys who kind of made some shifts between major leagues and then they got sent back. Mikel Garcia is a good example of that. Mikel made his debut with the Royals. He actually hit the ball pretty well for a while, and then he started to taper off a bit. They started him out in AAA the next year, and he hit the ball well. He gets called back up to the big league club, and he was great last year. And now this year, he's off to another very, very good start. It's not always the worst thing in the world to send a guy down just to try to raise the confidence level a little bit, try to see the ball a little bit better. Because right now, Michael Massey's not seeing the ball better. And it's not like we're talking about a guy in Michael Massey who hit 280 or 290 last year, right? He has proven that he can hit at the major league level, but not consistently. He hit 243 in his rookie year in 2022 in only 52 games. He then hit 229 in 2023. He hit 259 last year, albeit in only 100 games. And now this year he's hitting 204. So he's a career 236 hitter. This is not a guy we're talking about who's a career 260, 270 kind of guy. So, yeah, I think there's some time here. 913-586-7965. We got a lot of messages about that. We may take a look at those on the other side of the break here. But coming up, I want to have a discussion about OTAs. Because these we get these stories every year that hype these people. Everybody gets excited. Everybody buys into a guy or two every offseason, and we fall for it. And it ends up, you know, we end up getting hit in the face by it. So let's talk about it. Because there are people who are trying to hype up Sky Moore during OTAs. We'll talk about that next. Logan Weber in here today on The Drive, filling in for Carrington Harrison. Of course, our producer for the program, Rob Britton, in as always. You're listening to 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan. Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
I think OTAs are getting out of hand. I think we're, it happens every year where we get to voluntary workouts and there's a guy or two or three that, you know, he comes in looking a little bit leaner, a little bit fitter, a little bit faster. And you're like, oh, you know, this might be the year he puts it all together, right? We've heard that about Justin Ross for a few seasons. We heard about Jody Fortson for years and years. And now we're hearing it about Sky Moore. I have seen this from multiple different reports that, you know, Sky Moore has put on a little bit of weight this season. He looks a little bit more muscular. I've seen some people go so far as to say he looks more like a running back than a wide receiver. And that's all well and good. And who knows, right? Hopefully, right? That'd be great if this is the year that a former second-round pick in Sky Moore finally puts it together. If I had to put a confidence level on it on a scale of 0 to 10, a 0.7. I just haven't seen it. I'm not trying to disparage, but how could I have any level of confidence in Sky Moore because he put on 10 pounds and looks more muscular, when the problem hasn't been his stature, it hasn't been his strength, it's been his catching, it's been his route running, it's been his ability to even get on the field in the first place. I mean, he hasn't proven that he can even take advantage of snaps when he's on the field. So why should it matter to me that he comes in 10 pounds heavier than he did a year ago? That's just OTAs for you. I mean, we're still months away from the season. Now, there are some good stories coming out of OTAs. We got our first look. We got our very first look at Rashee Rice coming off of the injury, doing on-field workouts today. He didn't have a knee brace on. He looked very agile, which was great to see. Reports we got today that Josh Simmons was actually a full participant in OTAs today, which is another very, very good sign. I don't know. It's just one of those things, and Rob, we were talking about it before the show, that you're just never going to get a ton of meat or substance out of OTAs. It's just a way, the guys are getting back loose after the off season, and, you know, for Sky Moore, my ceiling for Sky Moore is not for him to be a contributing piece for this team. In my opinion, Sky Moore's ceiling is just being on the team. Just make the 53 man. Because right now, in my view, he's on the outside looking in. When you've got a solidified three with Rashee, Worthy, and Hollywood, Juju comes back, you've got Jalen Royals that's still there, right? I mean, those are five guys, five receivers that are there. I've heard a lot, again, more OTA conversation, but everybody's like, oh, that Tyquan Thornton looks pretty good. You know, former high draft pick out of Oregon that was with the Patriots, who got cut when the Patriots had no wide receivers to speak of. Where does Sky Moore fit on this roster? In my opinion, he doesn't. So I don't care really what the OTA conversation is about Sky Moore, because he's got to prove it to me on the field. I'm not concerned about what he looks like on the sideline with his helmet off. What does he contribute in between the hashes? What does he contribute in between those big white sidelines on a Thursday, Sunday, or Monday during a game in the National Football League?
So two things can be true at once here. First and foremost, we're on the same page about OTAs. I think OTAs and basically all the work until they put real pads on, which is in a month, I guess, month and a half when they go down to St. Joe or up to St. Joe, excuse me. When they're in shorts and t-shirts or shells and shorts and helmets, it's hard for me to be like, oh man, can you believe how so-and-so is doing? I saw a report Jake, was it Bringing Stool, the undrafted free agent tight end out of Clemson.
Mm-hmm.
He's had another good day of contested catches. Fantastic. What does that mean? Who's he going up against? Is he doing it against Jamari Connor? Is he doing it against, you know, dude who's going to be on the practice squad? Is it against roster player number 90? I don't know. So I take all these things with a little bit of a grain of salt, and that includes the Sky Moore. I saw a lot of people on social media like, oh, it's great to see Rashee Rice back on the football field. I don't call running ladders and catching a pass from a coach back on the football field, but I digress. All those things can be true. I also think the Chiefs are pretty rare to give up on their draft picks.
Mm-hmm.
Think about how long Clyde Edwards-Helaire was in town. I was one that thought, oh, they're not going to keep him for that fifth year. And even though they turned down the fifth year option, they then brought him back. Clyde Edwards-Helaire was a Chief for 5 years. I felt like after two, maybe three, we had seen all we needed to see. They kept bringing him back. There were other players, to an extent, you felt like, all right, we're done here. They kept trying to give it one last go-round. So the fact that Sky Moore is still on the roster, he went down to Camp Pat, and now reports are he looks, you know, more sturdy, let's say that. He looks like he's in good shape at OTAs. Makes me think that Sky Moore is going to be on the roster. Now, what does that mean? Is he a gunner? Probably, but I think fans that are itching to cut Sky Moore are a year early to the game. I think he's going to be on the roster, and not just because of how he looks at OTAs. It just, the Chiefs don't quit on players like that.
I don't know why. I mean, the Clyde Edwards-Helaire situation, they were thin at running back, and of course he had his issues off the field with the mental health thing that he was going through, and that just seemed like the Chiefs were doing the right thing as human beings supporting another human being a little bit. This doesn't have that sort of makeup to it. So I was curious, because I was trying to rack my brain while we were talking. I was like, did Sky Moore even play last year? Like, did he register a catch last year? No. Sky Moore played in six games last season. He was targeted three times. Zero catches, 0 yards. So you're telling me, Sky Moore, in a year where your number one your presumed number one and number two wide receivers go down before the month of September is over. Hollywood goes down the first play of the first preseason game. And then Rasheed goes down on the interception return, gets hit by Mahomes, tears his knee up. And we haven't even hit the end of September. So without those two guys on the field at all, you're telling me that Sky Moore still couldn't see playing time. And now those two guys are back healthy, and the Chiefs drafted a wide receiver. They brought Juju Smith-Schuster back. There seems to be somewhat of a belief in Tyquan Thornton, whether that is ill-fitted or not. I don't know. I understand the loyalty factor of the Kansas City Chiefs. They draft these guys. They want to make it work. But you've got to show me something. I mean, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, for his money, you know, for his part, he had some good moments. Sky Moore caught a touchdown pass in the Super Bowl from 2 yards away. And that is basically his lone contribution to the Kansas City Chiefs thus far. And based off of the reporting from Dave Tobe today, it's not like he's going to be in the return game either. I don't know. I don't buy into the OTA stuff, and I'm really not buying into the Sky Moore conversation that's being had as of right now. 913-586-7965 is our number. Halfway up, halfway down. Here we go as we reach the 4 o'clock hour. More Royals conversation, hopefully some stadium updates that we will get here along the way. And All-Star voting began today in Major League Baseball. Who are the Royals' favorites to get in? Who should get in? We'll talk about all that coming up here in the 4 o'clock hour. Logan Weber filling in for Carrington Harrison. You're listening to The Drive on 96.5 The Fan.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.